So I'm sitting here with our black walnut this morning and looking at the cedar trees in our front yard. We've got two big cedar trees that sort of intertwine. And one cedar tree, I think, might have been the origin of this other cedar tree. Because it looks like they're holding hands sort of in this anthropomorphized way. But I was thinking about the notion of talking, and in rethinking conservation class, we read about interspecies communication and how there's a notion of telepathy in that. And I like that idea a whole lot. I've always felt, not that I could talk to animals or trees or whatever, and I don't, but like you feel something when you're observing a squirrel in a cedar tree and letting the squirrel be the squirrel and the tree be the tree and you be you. But I often think about how interesting it is that we say things like whale songs or songbirds, or, you know, we have this, I think, interesting human notion that, you know, the humpback whale is not talking to another humpback whale when they sing their songs. They are singing. And I think it's a way to distance, again, ourselves, because we have language. And, you know, reading the classics like I like to do, you see Aristotle and others talking about how language, especially spoken language, is such a, you know, unique aspect of humanity. I don't really agree with that. And I've not done much research into this, but I think there's a very fascinating thread of how and why we develop the, I guess, need to rely on spoken talk instead of using what I think we have as natural empathic abilities with each other and with our own ecologies and with the earth and with the organisms and the biosphere, even with, you know, things that we consider non-living, like rocks and the gases that make up our atmosphere and the ice in the cryosphere and the rocks and, you know, and the geosphere and those sorts of things. So I wonder when that turn to the linguistic happened, not to quit pick stock too much, but I wonder when that did happen. You know, when did we as humans come to rely on spoken language so much? You know, I read a paper a few years ago describing how human voice and vocalization is a real threatening thing in some contexts, like when you're walking through the forest. And it's one of the reasons when I did wilderness training, you know, in college when I was working at summer camps and that kind of thing, we were doing these 5-day hikes of 50-something miles through the Blue Ridge Mountains and up to the Appalachian Trail. You know, you're taught to say, "Hey, bear," if you see a bear. Not in a threatening way, but, you know, raise your voice and say, "Hey, bear." And typically the bear will move on, since we have mostly black bears here. Don't have many brown bears on the East Coast, thankfully. Well, maybe not thankfully, but, you know, here we are. We do have a lot of black bears, and we have them here in Spartanburg as well. And I've taught my children this too. You know, if you see a bear, you say, "Hey, bear." And generally, unless the bear feels threatened, it'll turn around and pass on. And the same with mountain lions here. We have mountain lions and coyote and that kind of thing. And you're always taught, like, vocalize that, you know. "Hey, kitty," or "Hey, hey, mountain lion." And I've noticed when I'm sitting here quiet, or when I'm under the walnut tree and I'm not talking, I hear the birds and I see the squirrels and I hear sometimes even their chitter chatter, whatever you want to call that. And animals are much more visible to us when we're not constantly talking. And I think there's something healthy to be quiet and be silent. And I need to read more Thomas Merton or more ancient studies about this, but I personally have always been attracted to notions of worship where you're quiet and you're silent. That's why I love going to services during Holy Week of the Christian year, where people are generally a little more reserved and quiet, and it's not a social club. It's more of a it's more of a chance to be reverent. And I think we can show reverence through silence. And not just silence in terms of not communicating, because again, I think we can and we have in the ancient world, in the ancient past, and whatever conceptions of the time we have done that and communicated with each other and with the biosphere. And I wonder what the world would look like today if we took that a little more seriously. And I'm the last person that should be speaking on this because I listen to way too many podcasts and I have my AirPods in when I'm outside working in the yard or just sitting here with the walnut tree. Oftentimes I'll find myself thinking, oh, I can listen to this NPR podcast, or I can listen to this ancient history podcast. And I need not do that. And I need to be more intentional ecologically about my voice and the emptying of myself, kind of again in that Nishitani idea of nothingness as a middle way, or kenosis, as we say in the Christian context of Christ emptying themselves on the cross. Maybe there's something there with how we talk and why we talk. It's a interesting thread. So I'm going to stop saying whale songs and start saying whale talk, whale speech, if you will. Because I think speech is a very interesting concept when you do take things like telepathy or ecological empathy to a intentional act.